Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Let's, as we always do at this time on Wednesdays, bring in our man John McClain. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. You guys sure had a fun trip to South Florida, didn't you?
We did. We did not expect the result that we got on Monday night, but what did you think about that comeback, being down by two touchdowns, and Will Levis leads his team to victory? I thought it was a gutsy decision to go for two, and Mike Vrabel did, but it was the right one, and they get the W.
Mike's a genius again. It's amazing, isn't it? Everybody's ready to run him out of town. Now he looks smart. And I thought they'd get blown out by the Dolphins. Miami's really good at home. I was watching their game and trying to keep up with the other one a little bit because of Tommy DeVito and his agent. But I thought at the end, when they fumbled the punt, and then when the bad pitch from Levis to Henry, I thought, okay, that's over. It's just a matter of will the Dolphins score again. And it was one of the most miraculous comebacks I've seen. Everything the Titans needed to do right, they did. Everything the Dolphins needed to do wrong, they did. It was a huge victory. That'll do so much for your confidence, and especially going up in this game against the Texans, who just were shellacked by the Jets 30-6 in the worst game of the season. And so I thought it was I'm happy for Vrabel. I don't know Will Levis, but to be 3-3, and I'll tell you what, he needs to temper the way he plays. I know Vrabel talked about that. You know, he can go nuts on the sideline. That's fine. But, boy, he can't go nuts. He keeps playing like that. I saw him lower his shoulder one time when there was a lineman coming in. He had a collision, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, that's the best way to have some shoulder separation. I'll guarantee you Vrabel and Tim Kelly, if they didn't go ballistic on the sideline, they were going ballistic on the inside.
Did you hear Vrabel's comments and what he said yesterday
about teaching him to slide?
Yeah, now they're going to show him videos of what not to do, essentially.
Yeah, basically it's what he did, because it's great. Fans love a player who does that, but man, as you're finding out all over the league, and the Titans found it out with Ryan Tannehill. So many guys are having to play. And it was a great move for Levis. I think we all knew he's going to start at some point because they had to see what they had. But like Tommy DeVito, you know, there's some great success stories. Jake Browning, but you still generally don't want to play your backup quarterback. The Texans have a backup, Davis Mills, who won in Nashville last year with a terrible team. And he's going to be without his leading receiver, Nico Collins, and they lost Tank Dell the week before. Then they didn't have Dalton Schultz this week. Plus, they can't run the ball worth a darn. But Mills, Texans have won three of the last four up there. And 2 years ago, when the Texans were at their worst, remember when the Titans came here and everything was going well and they had to win to get off-field advantage, and Mills threw for over 300 yards and three touchdowns and had a rating of like 126, and Titans won by three. So they've seen what Davis Mills is capable of doing. This new staff here is not, because he hadn't played, because C.J. Stroud has been tremendous, but now he has a concussion. They haven't ruled him out. They never do. But most of us think Mills will be starting on Sunday.
We're talking to the great John McClain this morning on 102.5, 106.3 of the game. And, John, I saw your tweet on Sunday about the passing of Frank Wycheck, and Nashville is hurting because we love that guy a lot on and off the field. You tweeted something. You first saw him at a practice in Maryville, Tennessee, between the Redskins and Oilers. Take us back to that moment, if you don't mind.
Frank played for the Redskins, and he was in – I think it was going into his third year, and they were playing a game at UT – and they wanted to practice against each other. And so they went to Maryville. And I remember being there, sitting on the sideline with Charlie Casserly, the general manager of the Redskins, who would become the general manager of the Texans. And so we were talking about all their players. I had to get the inside scoop because my wife grew up in D.C. and lives and dies with the Redskins. So I was asking Charlie a million questions. And then he came to a guy, Frank Wycheck, who he said they had tried to move to fullback, and that didn't work because he was more of an H-back, good receiver, very smart. They had high hopes for him. But and Frank had really good practices. And I told Floyd, I pointed him out, and he said, yeah, I've been watching him. And I told him what Cashley said. And nobody thought the Redskins would cut him, but they did. And they jumped the Oilers jumped all over him. And in his 2 years here before they moved, you know, he got here the same year as Steve McNair and Chris Sanders. They had a lot of players that came in under Jeff Fisher in Jeff's first full year as the head coach, and they went 8-8 under terrible circumstances. And Frank really didn't have a chance to emerge as a player or a personality. In the second year, their last year here, when Eddie George was NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year with more than 1,300 yards, and Frank emerged. He had his career high of touchdown catches here. Chris Chandler was a quarterback. McNair only started 6 games in his 2 years here, but Frank emerged, and then, of course, the rest is history when he got to Nashville to play the first 2 years for the Tennessee Oilers. And one of the things that always stood out for me with Frank is I did a lot of charity work in Nashville, hosted events, and 13 years in a row, I did it for the Charles Davis Foundation. And Jeff Fisher was gracious enough to come to every year. And, man, he brought a great array of guests, and there was a lot of them, like, Jim Schwartz was there, Dave McGinnis. And the thing that we did at the Lowe's, we always told them, it's like Vegas. Whatever was said there could not leave there. And Frank came several years. I had Eddie George, Steve McNair, Vince Young came 2 years in a row. But, man, Frank came several years. And Frank could have been there, I think, there, because not only was he great on the radio, and as a talk show host, but he was also great as an analyst, and he kissed enough babies. You know, he got it. It was real. He was genuine. There's nothing phony about Frank. He just loved being out in public, and he loved Nashville, and he loved Middle Tennessee. And I know a lot of people are mourning up there because he died, especially way too young. But I always remember him not just as a great player, but also as a great person in the community.
John, how critical was Frank Wycheck to the success of getting Steve McNair rolling and giving Steve McNair confidence, especially in those early years, 97, 98, and so forth?
Joe, he was, and they developed a relationship here in their 2 years together. A lot of the players wanted Steve to start. They didn't want Chris Chandler as the starter. They knew Steve had talent because Steve signed a 7-year contract. You can't do that anymore, but they knew they had time to develop him, and they thought because he played at a small college, he would need more time, but it was obvious about the athleticism, the arm and everything. And so he and Frank, because they came in together, they had that relationship. And then when he became a starter in Nashville, Frank was kind of his safety valve. Steve wasn't going to throw a lot of deep passes right away. He wasn't going to accuracy wasn't his forte right away, but he always knew where Frank was going to be, whether it was a short route, whether it was an intermediate route, going over the middle, going to the sideline. If it was 3rd and 6, Frank would be at 7 yards, and they knew that. And he was very comfortable with Frank. So Frank played a major role in Steve becoming the great quarterback he became.
John McClain is with us from Houston. We'll have more with him, including this matchup this weekend between the Oilers and the Texans here in Nashville. We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin on a Wednesday, continuing our conversation with the great John McClain, sportsradio610.com in Houston. That's where you can read his work. And, of course, does a lot of radio appearances across the country. So, John, the Oilers back in the throwbacks this weekend against Houston. I don't think the players really give a crap about that, do they? It's more the fans,
players,
right?
Players don't give a rat's you-know-what about that. And here, they were on my talk show midday yesterday, they were trying to make a big deal. I said, guys, I'm way beyond that. That was a bigger deal when the season started. Texans are going to be without Stroud. They're going to be without some of their best players. They're in a must-win situation. They're 7-5 in the thick of the wild card race, 1 game out of first place. Who cares what uniform the Titans are wearing? I'll mention it in my pregame preview, and that's it. But unless I'm asked on talk show, it's I don't even think about it. Now, all I know is when I said I liked it before the season, everybody's ready to run me out of town here. And the reason I like it is because all those players I covered for 20 years, they like it. You know, Dan Pastorini, Robert Bazile, White Suit Johnson, Billy's going to be honored. And I think it's great when they play the video of him doing the funky chicken. That was one of the early touchdown dances. He's such a great guy. And so all those guys love it. It's never going to happen here. If it's going to happen somewhere, it's in Nashville. So I can't wait to see it. What the Texans need to be worried about is Derrick Henry. It amazes to me on Monday night, you limit Derrick Henry 34 yards and 2 yards carry, you ought to win the game, especially when you rush for 158 and average 5.1. For my column that I'm writing about the Texans and Henry, as you mentioned on SportsRadio610.com, Henry is lucky he hasn't been arrested here for assault and battery. He is in last five games, he's averaging 203 yards a game and 7.1 a carry. Last year, they were celebrating. They held him to 126 and 5.4 a carry, and they won the game up there, 19 to 14. The last time he didn't have 100 against the Texans was the first time they played in 2019 when he had 86. And then he started the string of four in a row with over 200. And the Texans caught a huge break in 2021 because they had two games against the Titans when he was injured. And so they got lucky. So the Texans are playing great run defense right now. And if they're ever going to limit him to less than 100 again, this would be the Sunday to do it.
John, you know Bud Adams really well. And a few years ago, somebody told me that, you know, if Bud Adams had said, you know, tongue in cheek, if they win two games all year, he'd be happy as long as both of those are against the Houston Texans. Did you ever get that kind of disdain that Bud had for that franchise and wanting to beat them so bad?
He wanted to beat them, and it wasn't disdain. I think it was Bud never understood why Houston would not build him a new stadium, and they were so quick to build one for Bob McNair. Well, the reason was they'd lost their franchise, and the city here, the politicians, the business leaders screwed Bud royally. We never even had a referendum. He only won $180 million. He was going to put in the rest, and so we never had a referendum. We had two for the Rockets. The first one failed, so they had another one that passed. And Bud taking the Oilers to Nashville was the best thing that happened to the Astros and Rockets because the voters panicked, and both of them were threatening the lease, so they built them Taj Mahals. And I think that was it. Bud had to hear about the Texans every day, constantly, and I know he was happy with the way things have worked out in Nashville. Amy Adams Strunk, of course, is ecstatic about the way things have worked out up there, And I always get excited when they play. We've never had the kind of rivalry between the Titans and the Texans as there should be. And one reason is they're not playing for the playoffs every year. It's not like the Astros and Rangers this year where they played 13 times. Every game was crucial. They played in the World Series. They were there. So much hostility between the organizations. And this one hadn't had it. 1 or 2 years when Fisher could be active. As the coaches, they were both good, but basically they've never been good playing for something. And if the uniforms are what it takes to get the riled up, so be it. It just should be a whole lot more intense than it is.
I totally agree. And one more about Bud, John. What would Bud Adams think about Derrick Henry? I know he passed away before Derrick came here. You spent a lot of time around Bud when he had Earl Campbell and Eddie George. What would you think Bud think about Derrick Henry?
He would love Derrick Henry because Bud was old school. He liked the running backs that ran over people, that were physical, that took a licking and kept on taking. And they've had great running backs going back to the original Oilers, won the first two American League championships with players like George Blanda, Charlie Hennigan, and Charlie Tolar and Billy Cannon. Then they lost the third one in double overtime to the Texans, who became the Chiefs. And they always, and most of the time, they had run-oriented offenses built around backs. They had Mike Rozier, Heisman trophy winner. It was very important to them to get a running back. And the first really, truly great was Earl Campbell in 1978, who played for Bum Phillips. So he would absolutely love watching Derrick Henry.
John, real quick, as you know, you look at the league as a whole right now, what team in your mind is the best in the National Football League at this point, knowing, like we all know, that that could certainly change?
Without a doubt, it's the 49ers. They pounded the Cowboys, they pounded the Eagles, and they pounded the Jaguars, and they did it on the road against the Eagles and the road against the Jaguars. And right now, if they keep Brock Purdy healthy, then they should be the favorite to win the Super Bowl. The three best teams are in the NFC. No great team is in the AFC.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. John, appreciate it as always, and we will talk next week.
Chase and Joe, I look forward to reviewing the game with you guys. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. He is John McClain. Joins us every Wednesday at 9:30 here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, and you can find his work, sportsradio610.com. in Houston. We'll keep it going and shift gears into some Predators action. They got the big OT win last night against Philadelphia. Ryan O'Reilly will join us coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.